I'm telling you, good citizens are going to turn to real concern and revolutionary citizens real soon. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest toast ever perpetuated on the American people, in your apartment.
Now we're supposed to have unity. Let me tell you something. I'm part of the new resistance.
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to take a few minutes here and give you a little bit more insight on CRT that I didn't quite have enough time to fit into the main episode. So that is why we have this bonus episode coming at you today. Now, as I have said before many times, do not take everything I say for gospel. Please, 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 it is so important that you go out and do your own homework on anything I talk about, not just this. So if you remember back to the episode, I talked about how CRT ultimately came from critical theory, which came from a group of Marxist professors at the Frankfurt School in 1930s Germany, who fled when the Nazis and Hitler came to power, and ended up in America eventually. Among them was a man named Herbert Marcuse, whom I told you was, by his own admission, the grandfather of critical race theory, and that a Harvard professor named Derrick Bell was the father of CRT. Critical theory, which spawned several other academic theories, critical legal theory, Latino critical race theory, or it's also called LACRIT, Black Feminist Legal Theory, and so on and so on. There are so many theories and notions coming out of academia that have moved into mainstream society over the past few years that it is quite confusing as to what all or any of them mean. I will tell you that is done by design. It's done on purpose to confuse us. Anyways, Derrick Bell and other legal scholars began using the term critical race theory in the 1970s and further developed the idea on into the 80s and 90s. He wrote several books and papers on it throughout the years. But in the 1970s, he began calling critical race theory as an offshoot of critical legal theory, which states that the law was only created to support the interest of those who made them, that it only favors the privileged and disadvantages the unprivileged. There's more to it. That is just a basic explanation. Admittedly, it's harder for me to argue with that. In today's day and age, when you use that basic surface level explanation of critical legal theory, Bell and other law professors and activists became disillusioned with the results and victories of the 60s civil rights movement. An article titled, "Did Obama Hug a Radical?" published March 2012 on Slate.com, states it like this, quote, "Classical liberal ideals such as meritocracy, equal opportunity, colorblind justice," they said, "actually serve the white elite by cloaking and reinforcing society's deep structural inequalities. Racism, according to this line of thought, is not a matter of bad behavior by individual racists, it's embedded in American attitudes and institutions," end quote. You see, even with overt discrimination having been made illegal, they argued institutional racism and unconscious biases, for example, when a white person Oh, let's use an aging U.S. senator plucked out of obscurity to become the pick for Democratic vice president. When a white person praises a black person as clean and articulate, they argued that biases such as this would keep minorities down. Derrick Bell, in particular, pushed what he called interest convergence theory, which says that whites will only support minorities when it is in their interest as well. For example, Brown versus Board of Education, he saw that decision as a Cold War effort to improve America's standing in third world countries in order to redress wrongs that he saw. Bell sympathized with black nationalists in their calls for separate black institutions, but also pushed for affirmative action at Harvard and elsewhere. He saw only one road to salvation, and that was if we changed the Constitution to include socioeconomic rights. You'll find these familiar: health care for all, housing rights, whatever that means, free education for everyone, and many others like those. That it could undo that original sin by enshrining the redistribution of wealth. He, and many, many others after him, including many today, who sit in positions of great power in our government, believed such a revolution could, quote, restore the humanity of black people. Does it shock you then that Barack Obama was heavily influenced by Professor Derrick Bell and even taught his ideas and work to his own law students? Do a lot of the ideas and phrases used by both Obama, his wife, and so many others since then make more sense now? They sure do to me. Critical race theorists believe that whiteness serves to benefit some groups and marginalize others, that America has made zero progress towards true equality in the past 200-something years. And unlike other academic and legal schools of thought, CRT has a radical, revolutionary, and activist agenda. It's about righting the wrongs of yesterday by not just questing after knowledge, but by punishing and taking it out on those living today who have nothing to do with it. Look, America is definitely imperfect, and we do have an egregious history of racial discrimination and injustice. However, those unique principles upon which it was founded were then and remain today universal, timeless, and non-racial. As Joel Pollack said on June 13th on Breitbart.com, those principles of freedom are the solutions, not the problems. Thank you for listening. It really does mean a lot to me. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, email the_nrp@yahoo.com or post a comment on Facebook at The NR Podcast. Or if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review with your comments, etc. Also, if you're listening on the show's anchor page, there is a message icon right above the list of episodes. You can click on that and it will take you to a page where you can leave a voice message to me by clicking on Start Recording Now. My name is Seth. This is the New Resistance Podcast. Stay focused, stay engaged, never give in. Until next time. See ya!
So it all goes in one direction, basically, to divide us, to make them really race conscious, to make them really sex conscious. We're talking grade school children, things that we wouldn't normally teach our kids. They're being taught in the Springfield Public Schools, and we're very much against it, and we need to expose it for what it is.
I am not oppressed or held back by anyone based on historical ancestry. It's impossible.
But it's hard to, when you say that to some people, because they say, oh, there you go with a pull yourself up by the bootstraps thing, and, you know, you're just being respectable. Not everybody can do that.
Well, everybody can. Everybody doesn't. Courage is the key to life itself.
Telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist. And saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well.
Where are we in the United States of America in race relations and what you see from day to day in your life?
Skip, they wouldn't want to ask me that. They wouldn't want my answer to represent it because God knows I have been nothing but blessed. My whole path, these 33 years have been nothing but a blessing. I've never dealt with racism, and I'm glad I didn't have to.
There is a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. There is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well. That was said by Booker T. Washington.
How are we going to get rid of racism until...
Stop talking about it.
And I'm sick and tired of the Democrats trying to call it a right-wing conspiracy. It's a lie. It's a lie. Because people of all colors hate and attack the critical race theory.
What they're doing to the children with this material is very despicable. And they should be ashamed of themselves. The school board members who were here when this was going on are fully aware of what they're doing. And that's why one of the main things that I'm discovering is that they're trying to conceal this. They're going through lots of effort to conceal this. And so that is very telling.